You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week two in our series, Weekend Update, 3 days that changed the world. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten with this week's message.
One of the many requirements that I had to complete when I was in seminary, where pastors go to learn and train and do all their studying, one of those requirements I had to complete was a silent retreat. There's 24 hours of no talking at all, no interactions, no talking, no outside noise, no nothing at all. And the point of this 24-hour silent retreat was an attempt to shut off all of the noise in an effort to hear more clearly from God in a real way. And so our professors, they actually carved out a time and a place for us to fulfill this requirement, but I was unable to attend. And so I had to figure out some other way to spend 24 hours in absolute silence. This was a challenge. Eric and I lived in graduate student housing on a university campus in a three-story apartment building on the third story, on the street side of the building, just above the busy streets of Chicago, and on the very same street as one of Chicago's major hospitals, which was a destination for ambulances at literally just about every hour of the day and of the night. And so 24 hours of, silence for me and nothing, it was going to be hard to find. And so one weekend, I packed my car and I drove north out of the city and into the woods to spend 24 hours on my own. I showed up at a little campsite that I found in the woods late in the afternoon, and I think I went for a hike, and then I set up camp, and I made a fire and started getting dinner ready, and so far at this point, all is good. But as the evening went on, reality started to sink in a little bit. I was alone and still had like 18 hours left to be on my own in complete silence. Now, some of you are thinking at the sound of that, you're going like, man, that sounds amazing. You know, like 18 hours of silence and 10 years later and three kids later, I can very much appreciate that. But I would still say there's a big difference between quiet and silence. Quiet is really great for that matter. Erica and the kids, they were just gone the other night and I had the house to myself for a few hours and the quiet was glorious. Okay, but quiet is a little bit different than total and complete and prolonged silence, especially silence with some sort of like expectation. And there was this expectation that something significant was supposed to happen for me in the midst of these 24 hours. And so all of a sudden, any bit of activity that I had planned, any bit of kind of scurrying around, that was all over. And now all that was left was this time that God was supposed to be speaking to me. And I'll tell you what, I'm being very honest here. Time slowed down to a creep. And I waited patiently to hear from God. And I kid you not, it was so quiet that I could not hear a thing. The silence was deafening. Now, I can't be 100% sure, but I gotta think in some ways that this is how many of Jesus' disciples and his closest followers felt on Saturday of that very first Easter weekend, the day after Good Friday, the day after they just assumed the worst thing happened, the day after they assumed was maybe the worst day in history. I gotta think that this is a little bit of how they felt on that Saturday, and that's exactly the day that I wanna talk about, the day that I wanna kind of put under the microscope for us today. And it's the second week, as you heard Haley say, we're in the second week of a short series leading up to Easter that we're just calling Weekend Update, where we take a look at the 3 days of that very first Easter weekend, 3 days that I really believe when they're weaved all together, 3 days that changed the world, and 3 days that I really think could change you and me as well. And last week, we talked about Friday of that very first Easter weekend. We call that day Good Friday. It's the day that Jesus took our place to die a death that we deserved to die and to pay a price that we deserved to pay. Right, Friday was the day that pain all of a sudden now had a purpose. It was the day that death and darkness was now redefined, and that's really all what made it good. But we had the luxury of knowing how the story plays out, which is why we can say it was good. But Jesus's followers on that Good Friday would have probably described it as much more of a very bad Friday. And eventually that Friday for them turned into Saturday. And let me, if I can here, let me try to sum up for you what it is that happened on Saturday in just one word. Nothing. It's the day of that first Easter weekend that nothing happened. It's the day when almost all of heaven was muted. It's the day that even the Bible was relatively silent about on that Saturday. All of the other days of that weekend, they got like special names. Even if you go back a day to Thursday, sounds a little strange, but it was known as Maundy Thursday. And then there's Good Friday. And then obviously there's Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. But Saturday, it's the day largely without a name. It's the day without answers. It's the day between trial and testimony. It's the day between pain and purpose. It's the day between the good news and the bad news. Saturday is the day of waiting and wondering. And it's the day of silence. And friends, here's the deal. Here's what I think to be true. I think for so many people today, in the midst of the lives that we are living and all the things that come our way and all the circumstances that we are a part of, I think for so many people today, most days feel a whole lot like Saturday. I feel like for so many people, life tends to feel a whole lot like Saturday, where we're waiting and where we're wondering and where we're stuck and really going seemingly nowhere. Right? Maybe for you, right, your pain or your guilt or your shame, it feels like it's going nowhere. Maybe your marriage feels like it's going nowhere. Maybe your career, it feels like it's going nowhere. Or maybe your fear or your stress or your anxiety or your problems or all of your bills to pay, they feel like they're going nowhere. And you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed some more, but all that you got was silence. I think that's Saturday. It's a day without a name, the day of nothing. And so it begs the question, if you think about it, begs the question, why is there a Saturday in God's story, in this Easter story? Why is there a Saturday? With enough explanation, we can kind of wrap our head around what happened, even the tragedy of it. With enough explanation, we can kind of wrap our head around, we can kind of get on board with Good Friday. And from our 21st century perspective, we know how the story triumphantly and miraculously and victoriously ends on Sunday. And so the question is, why not just do the miracle of the resurrection on Saturday? Why the time in between? Why wait? Here, I think, is the simple answer, okay? Even though Saturday was the day that nothing happened, God was still up to something. In fact, I think there's a really great lesson that we need to learn about the Saturdays in our life. And I think it's a lesson that God has wanted all of his people to understand from the very beginning. I think there's a really great lesson that we can learn from the Saturdays in this story and from the Saturdays in our life. And to learn this lesson, what we're going to do today is we're going to turn to, honestly, just about one of the only small, little, tiny things that was written to even reference Saturday of that Easter weekend. We're going to look today at one of the only things that was written about that day. There's only a handful of sentences in the whole Bible that really even allude to that Saturday. And so I want to look at just a few of them today because there's an interesting detail that I think demonstrates what it is that maybe possibly God might have been up to. There's a detail I think if we look a little closer might suggest to us why there is a Saturday in this story after all. There's a man named Luke who recorded what it is. He was one of four men who kind of recorded these stories that surrounded Jesus's his life and his death and his resurrection. And he recorded what it is that was kind of going on. And I want to look at what he says. Here's what he writes about some of those moments just after Jesus was murdered on the cross. Here's what he writes. He says, as his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. And then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. Now, just very quickly here, this was just kind of customary Jewish, you know, burial procedures to do the spices and the ointment thing. And as a total, if I can just call a quick timeout, as a total side note here, I think this is kind of interesting. This little note here about the oils and the spices that they were preparing to preserve his body, it kind of shows, as a quick side note, it kind of shows that Jesus's followers were truly like expecting Jesus to remain dead. See, one of the you know, suspicions that exists among, you know, people that are skeptical today of the Jesus story, one of the suspicions that exists even today in certain circles is that the resurrection was, you know, just an event, right? That was, you know, created by the early church leaders in an attempt just to kind of preserve the memory and the teaching and the legacy of Jesus. But if that was the case, if it was just all made up, they wrote about it in a pretty interesting way, describing details like this that actually proved they really did expect him to stay dead. And so the details included here, I think, demonstrate that the resurrection, the miraculousness of it really did catch them by surprise. And yet, if we kind of come back to the story then, even in all of their sorrow, even in all of their sadness, these women that they wanted to take care of the body of Jesus as best they could, as their traditions would ask of them. And then here's where we get a little window, I think, into what it is that God might have been doing. Here's where I think we catch a little window, into why it is that God might have included Saturday in this story. So let's keep reading. It says they went home and they prepared the spices and the ointments, but by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, and so they rested as required by the law, okay? In present day, you know, kind of Christianity, the Sabbath day is often, you know, considered to be Sunday, right? It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of rest and of church and of football, right? And that's all Sabbath day activities. Okay, it was Sunday, right? But for Jews, right, for God's original people, Sabbath it was and it is, it's Saturday. And so honoring the Sabbath day, it was a big deal. It was one of the 10 big ones. It was one of the 10 commandments. And so these women, they're God-honoring Jewish women, they had work still to do, right? That they had things that they wanted to take care of. They had matters that were important to them that they wanted to follow through with. And they began those preparations to do the things that they wanted to do and to take care of the things that they wanted to take care of. But they ran out of time. When the sun went down and the Sabbath hit, as good Jewish, you know, people would, they honored it. And so they stopped what they were doing. They stopped what they wanted to be doing, and they went home and rested because it was now the Sabbath day, and so they were forced to wait. To wait on that very first Saturday. Now, truthfully speaking here, observing Sabbath days, I think kind of we get kind of confused about this. There's, you know, any idea of observing Sabbath day rest, I think it kind of gets a bad rap a little bit. Too many think that, too many people think that God is just some kind of old-fashioned God, right? That, you know, that just says that, you know, on Sabbath days, people just need to sit still as statues and don't move and don't work and don't, you know, even think about doing the wrong thing, you know, on the Sabbath day, or else God will be angry about what you did that day, right? I think we get kind of mixed up about what Sabbath day rest was really all about. But none of that, that kind of, you know, just sit still, don't do the wrong thing, that's not even close to what Sabbath was about. It wasn't ever meant to be this strict, what you can and cannot do type of thing, as if there's some kind of activity that God would say, like, that's it, you crossed the line, right? Jesus himself, when he or his disciples inevitably did something that they shouldn't have done on the Sabbath day, Jesus even made it clear that we were not made for Sabbath keeping, but rather Sabbath keeping was made for us. It was meant for our good. It was meant for the building and for the strengthening of our faith. How? How is that possible? Here's how. It's because it was, right, to keep the Sabbath, to honor the Sabbath. It was a built-in rhythm designed to help us remember God is God and we are not. Okay? That even if we take our foot off of the gas pedal, God is still at work in our lives, working all things out for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. And so this small little passage of scripture, one of the only things even written about Saturday, it reminds us to keep our eyes open and to look carefully for the promises of God, which might show up in some of the most surprising ways, right? One of the best ways to actually see God at work is when we are not at work, okay? This is, and this was from the very beginning, the point of Sabbath days. And this was the very point of Saturdays for God's people. And so fast forward then from the very beginning, from day one, as God meant for things to be, fast forward then from that day to the very first Easter weekend. I don't think it's a coincidence that this day in between, The bad news and the good news, I don't think it's a coincidence that it was a Saturday. I think God did it all on purpose. I think he lined all of this up on purpose. I think God added a Saturday into the Easter story for a very, very specific reason, to burn a permanent lesson into our brains, a lesson that he wants us to carry with us every single day of the week. And that lesson is this, that just because God is silent, it does not mean that he is absent. See, we are far too quick to make this kind of mistake, in the way that we think and in the way that we assess what it is that's happening around us, right? We equate silence with absence, but this is not the way it works, right? Just because God is silent in our life, it does not mean that he is absent. Just because it feels like nothing is happening, God may still be doing something, right? Just because we feel like we're waiting on God, it does not mean that God has stood us up. If we don't understand this now, right, that silence doesn't equal absence, right? If we don't understand this now, we will continually be disappointed by all of the times that we feel like we're waiting on God in silence. I think it's Pastor Craig Rochelle who coined one of my most favorite kind of sayings about waiting. I love what he says about waiting when he says that waiting time is never wasted time. And I think that's what God wants us to learn on Saturdays, especially this one Saturday in particular, Silent Saturday, the day in between. Waiting time is never wasted time. If I'm honest with you, more often than not, just being real here, if I'm honest with you, more often than not, I feel like God has been silent in my life. That's the truth, right? I feel like God has been silent more often than I hope he would be. Now, you might be tempted to believe that God has me, right, the honorable Pastor Sten, on speed dial. Okay, you're like, I got a special, you know, like direct access cell phone that I keep in the top drawer of my desk that God uses to communicate directly with me whenever I slip away into the bat cave to receive my next mission. I really wish that I could tell you that that was true, but it's not always true. I've spoken quite frequently about, and I've always been really open and honest here about the journey that I have been on in life and in ministry, multiple pit stops along the way, and you know, never having a great deal of like certainty or confidence that I was, you know, where I was supposed to be, or you know, that I was even particularly effective at what it is that I was doing at the time. And throughout that entire journey, particularly in the later years in my adult life, right? Throughout that entire journey, from being a college grad to then being a young youth pastor, and then to being a seminary student, and then being a worship pastor and a staff pastor, right? From Chicago to Colorado, and then back to Chicago, and then up over the border into Wisconsin, right? All throughout this journey, I tell you what, I have prayed countless times. I have prayed countless times that God would provide very clear answers. Eric and I, we've prayed very boldly that God would provide clear answers to the questions that we were asking, that I was asking at pivotal moments in my life. I've pleaded with God for a clear yes or a clear no at more moments in my life than I can even count, right? It all began, it was years ago when I was in Colorado. This was maybe like, I was a young youth pastor. This was maybe like the most confused and the most discouraged that I had ever been about like who I was or like what I was supposed to be doing. And I had hard meetings and I had hard decisions and I had hard, you know, thoughts to all sift through. And I memorized the prayer from Psalm chapter 5, verse 8. And I memorized it then in light of some of these decisions and conversations and meetings. And I've repeated it many times since. It was my prayer. Lead me on the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Show me what to do and tell me which way to turn. Over and over again, I prayed this. Lead me on the right path, O Lord, or I might not make it. Tell me clearly what to do and show me, God, would you show me just which way I should turn? So many times I prayed this. Come on, God, please. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Just tell me. Just show me. Just tell me what you want me to do. Tell me which way you want me to go. And every single time I prayed that prayer, I kid you not, I got the exact same answer. Here's the answer that I got. Nothing. Silence. God, just tell me, show me clearly. Nothing. But folks, here's what happens then in the midst of feeling like I wanted some kind of lightning strike moment that I didn't get. Here's what happened, and I don't want to make this sound really glamorous because it wasn't really glamorous all of the time, right? But here's what happened. Here's what I was trying to do in those moments. It was the silence. It was the waiting. It was the wondering that only drove me deeper. And so I started to ask more questions and bigger questions, right? What do I know? It is true about God. What do I know is true about me and how he made me and how he designed me, right? Regardless of where I go or what I do, who am I? What has he created me to do? Who has he created me to be? What do I think he has called me, Sten Carlson, to do? And if there was anything in front of me that would allow me to more fully live into that, what it is that God had created me to do as best as I can, right? If there was anything, if the answer was yes in any way to that question of God, who have you created me to be? If there was some step, if there was some path that seemingly opened up, or if there was some opportunity that seemed available, that felt like it was in line, that was true of who God was and who I was. If there was some opportunity that seemed like it was available, I took it. And with each step, I learned a whole lot more about God. I learned a whole lot more about me and about how God was working in me and using me and leading me to be exactly who he created me to be. And that journey led to the me that is standing here today. Mid-Current, here's the truth. Silent Saturdays, which for so many of us, that feels like our life all the time. Silence, nothing, waiting. The truth is, folks, silent Saturdays can actually still serve a very good purpose, right? They can still surprise us in the most of unexpected ways. They can drive us toward God in the midst of whatever it is that we are looking for and waiting for. And so when it's Saturday, maybe you're feeling like it's Saturday for you right now. When it's Saturday in your life, when it feels like you're waiting, the question is, where will you turn and what will you do while you wait? Right? Will the silence freak you out? Will you grow impatient and just assume that you know God must have bailed on you and so you change the plan or you call an audible or you call the whole thing off or grab the reins and jump ship or try to start calling your own shots? Will you lean on your own understanding? Or will you trust in God with your whole heart and not on your own understanding of the situation? And in all things, would you maybe acknowledge him and submit to him so that he would make your path straight? Folks, we have to understand that God truly does do some of his best work on Saturdays in the waiting, in the nothing, and even in the silence. We just need to have eyes to see it, ears open to hear it. And whatever we do, we have to remember that just because God is silent, it does not mean, it has not ever meant that he is absent. He wasn't then, and he certainly isn't now. Let me pray for us. God, the truth is I have to believe there are many of us here today on site. There may be many of us who are tuning in online right now that feel like life is some kind of Saturday. Just waiting for something to become clear, waiting for some kind of, piece to fit or for some kind of, circumstances to line up just right. God, I gotta believe that all of us have experienced or are experiencing right now or will experience some kind of Saturday where it feels like we're waiting on you and you are silent and not really speaking to us in a way that we might want, even when our heart is kind of open to you, God. And so I pray that in the silence, God, you would drive us deeper to you. God, I pray that in the silence, God, in the waiting, we wouldn't grow impatient and that we wouldn't jump ship or kind of just, bail out, God. But I pray that you would keep our feet to the path and keep our eyes on you and our hearts open to you and to what it is that you might be doing on Saturday. The Saturdays of our life and in the silence that we may experience time and time again. God, would you help us to be people who don't lean on our own understanding, but truly with every single thing inside of us, God, we trust in you. And we submit to you, God, and we open our hearts to you, trusting that you truly will make our path straight. God, thanks for this morning, this chance to be together, and certainly we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. who died for us, took our place, and rose again so that we could have life to the full. Pray that you would continue to help more and more of us find and experience the life that you have made possible. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hey, we're really glad that you could be here today as we talk about Saturday. And the truth is, the best thing about any Saturday kind of experience in our life, the best thing about Saturday is that Sunday is always coming. And so we could not be more excited to celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, right here next week at both 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., identical services that we have planned so that you and any of your friends and neighbors and coworkers or whoever can be a part of all that we believe God wants to do here in this place next Sunday. We hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will save you a seat, and we will see you on Easter Sunday right here at MidCurrent. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from MidCurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.